want to talk about generation to generation. What does that mean? I thought, well, we've got everybody here, and, you know, we're all in different age ranges, right? You know, not everybody's in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s and so on. But, you know, some of us maybe we're around the 30-year mark, and we're like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, and I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. By the way, I'm in my 50s, and I still don't have all the answers, right? It's a journey that you are on. But when you came in the door, you got a bulletin, so there's an outline that you can follow along with us. Is I want to give you three keys today. What I'm going to do, and what I'm hopefully going to do, is look at this from two different angles, because I don't know where the hard line is for the Moses generation and the Caleb generation, okay? But I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to pick about the age of 40. And the reason I'm going to pick that is because that was the age that Caleb was when, if you remember, this is back in Deuteronomy, Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies were sent in to spy out the land, right? Only two came back with a good report, 10 came back with a negative report. And that was Caleb and Joshua were the two. Now, Caleb was 40 years old at that time. And we're going to find out in just a moment as I read Joshua that now Joshua, Moses is gone now. Joshua's in charge, if I can say it that way. And Caleb is coming to him because they're getting ready to divvy out and cast lots for the land, all that stuff. And Caleb says, hold on, Joshua, before you do that, I want to remind you of something. And that's what's going on here. So whatever side of the line you find yourself on, don't become discouraged by that, okay? You know, some of us can be like on the young side, well, I don't have to figure anything out, and I don't know what I'm going to do anyway, and I'm not smart enough, not good enough, not talented enough, and we kind of dig ourselves into a hole, you know? And no, God's got a great plan for your life. It's going to come to fruition. Just don't give up. Keep on seeking that out. Now, if you're on the other side, you can do the same thing. It just, the language sounds different. I'm too old. God can't use me anymore. You know, my energy, my strength is waning. So therefore, I'm pretty much at the end of my rope. No, if you were at the end of your rope, you would not be here. God has an appointed time. Got a big amen from the front there. He's not done with any of you. He's not done with me. However, seasons change. Don't they? And you've got to be willing, you've got to be ready to navigate those changes. I used to think growing up that you picked a job and then that's the job I'm going to have the rest of my life and you can't do anything else and you can never veer from the course, you know, because you're locked and loaded, right? Now that happens, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we tell ourselves, maybe when God shows up and wants to do something fresh and new and he says, why don't we go over this way? Well, because I'm supposed to be doing this. Says who? Are you listening to you? Are you listening to your friends, your coworkers, or are you listening to God? So let me rein it back in. I'm starting to preach a whole different message, I think. There's multiple generations that are going on, but today what I want to do is just talk about the difference, three keys, if you will, between the Caleb generation and the Moses generation and how important both of those are. As a matter of fact, it's not about one or the other. It's both of them being needed. And what I hope to do is bring out through Scripture how crucial it is. The Calebs need the Moses generation. And the Moses generation needs the Caleb. Now, you gotta get this from the Word of God, folks, because you're not going to find it on TV. You're not going to find it in the news. You're not even going to find it in our town. You know, wherever you go in this world, it's always about getting what you can. It's always about notoriety. It's always about, you know, the paycheck. It's always about the house, you know. And we start to define how good we are based on the stuff that we have. So what we need to learn is today as we gather together as a church family, just like in our families of origin, ages range across the board. But here's one of the things I want to just start off with, and it's in your outlines, write this down. Today's young people are tomorrow's leaders. They are tomorrow's leaders. And today's wiser people, you catch this, wiser, it's my nice way of saying maybe more advanced in age, Today's wiser people are they're supposed to be the ones that are paving the way for that next generation. That's what we're supposed to be doing. In the Bible, I've already told you there's a man named Caleb, and Caleb and Joshua, you know, they were two of the 12. Well, in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is now 85 years old, okay? He was 40 when he spied out the land. He's now 85 years old. And he said to Joshua, I was in my 40s when God sent me to spy out the land. Here I am, 85 years old, and strong as today as I was when I was 40. Now give me the possession or the land that's allotted to me. What's happening here in Joshua is the time, as I told you, the time for casting lots had come. Who's going to get what property? And Caleb shows up and steps forward and reminds Joshua of what happened back in Deuteronomy chapter 1. He says, remember when? And when we went out to spy out the land, and do you remember when God said that wherever I set my foot, that it would be mine? You know, he said, you remember that, right, Joshua? And Joshua was, yeah. Well, now again, Caleb's older now. And being older in 85, he had to make a choice. What did he still want most of all? Caleb was given two promises back in Deuteronomy before Joshua happened. Number one, he was promised that his life would be prolonged, right? Because back here, God said, I will give you this land. Well, the land hadn't come yet, so he was going to keep on living until he got that land. So there was a prolongedness, a longevity of life that God gave him. But number two, the promise was that he would someday inherit the territory that he bravely explored. He went out and searched out this land, and you remember there was giants in the land? And everybody came back fretting, oh no, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. And they didn't know what to do. But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, they're so big, we can't miss them, right? Whole different attitude, completely different. But now, Deuteronomy, here we are in Joshua, 45 years later. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? Anybody here, and don't feel like you got to raise your hand, nod, or scream, or anything like that. Anybody here waiting on a promise of God and it feels like, you know, a SpongeBob episode, 3 weeks later, you know, they always put that 72 years later. It seems like we're always waiting. Why doesn't God just do it now? Why doesn't God do it my way? Why doesn't God, you know, fill in the blank? We've all been there and we felt that, but even God's, some of God's greatest, Caleb, he's waited 45 years. So let me jump over to Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, and I'm just going to read this to you because it's kind of a handful of verses. I think, yes, we put them on the screen there. It says, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him, as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I fully followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for both war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the city was great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. What an amazing passage of scripture. You know, when I read this, I see the strength. I see the passion that is there. We read about a man whose name is Caleb, you know, was 40, and he was given this promise. And it's 45 years later. And we know the children, right? They wandered for like 40 years in the wilderness. They were on the verge of a breakthrough. That's why they were sending them to spy out the land. They were right on the verge but missed something very crucial about connecting these generations. And I want you to know that, or notice that Caleb is talking directly in this text to Joshua. He's talking to Joshua. Moses doesn't exist anymore, but Joshua is the leader. And he says, Joshua, you yourself know all this. You understand this. So, are you going to keep true to the promise of God or not? So, you know, the children, they wandered for a while. Caleb's been waiting for this promise. And think about this. He said, I'm now 85 years old. I was given the promise at 40. I'm 85 now, and I'm as strong as I was back when I was 40. How many of you believe in God for that kind of a strength in your life? How many of you truly believe that? Or how many of you are saying, I want to believe that? You know, there's a difference, isn't there? But you see, the God that promised Caleb is the same God that gave him the longevity of life. It's the same God that continues to strengthen him and to renew him. And I just wonder this morning, how many people might be here that, like I said, the hard line I picked was the age of 40, okay? I'm just kind of picking that age there, but I wonder how many here this morning maybe are at that age, 40 or, you know, 45 or maybe just under it. And you get concerned, you get a little afraid. Maybe it's even younger in your 20s and 30s. And what's the future going to hold? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Well, I just want you to know, first of all, don't be afraid. You're in good company when you start asking questions like, what's the next season that God has for me? Things are changing in my life. I don't know what to do. But what we have to remind ourselves is that this message today is for both those who are 40 and younger, as well as those who are 40 and older. Just because you get older chronologically by number doesn't mean that God is done with you, okay? Let me give you a few examples. Ray Kroc, he initiated McDonald's and the expansion of McDonald's. Guess what? He was 52 years old of age when he started that. Sam Walton, who owns Walmart, he started at the age of 43. George Foreman won the heavyweight crown at the age of 45. C.S. Lewis began writing the Chronicles of Narnia at the age of 51. Tolkien began writing The Lord of Rings at the age of 45. Amos started his cookie company at the age of 40. He didn't have it all figured out in the beginning. It's extremely interesting to me, just some of these people. Alex Haley published The Saga of American Family Roots at the age of 55. Henry Ford started his motor company, and he was only at the age of 40. What are you trying to get at, Pastor? Caleb generation, those that are younger, it's only just begun. Okay? There's great things God wants to do. There's great things that he wants to offer to us. Mary Kay Ash started Mary Kay at the age of 45. Mother Teresa was 40 when she started the Missionaries of Charity. It was in her 40s. Ronald Reagan was in his 50s when he started his real political career. Vince Lombardi, he was 45 when he got that coaching job for the Green Bay Packers. See, there's people that at the what felt like to them was the middle of their life or coming towards the end, it was just the beginning. Teddy Roosevelt was the youngest man to ever hold the office of president. And he did, he did that at the age of 43. You see, God uses a number of people we read about in history books, but yet we struggle to believe that the same God could appoint us or use us. But his desire is for us to get into that game. But we need one another. We need one another. I'm telling you, the best is still yet to come for each and every one of us. And here's Caleb. He's coming out. He says, I was 40 when Moses sent me to spy out the land. And he said, now I'm 85. I've come from my land, and I'm ready to still go do battle. There ain't nothing holding me back. I'm ready. Gloves are coming off. If God's behind me, in front of me, and on the side of me, this is the direction the Lord has, I'm all good. All I need to know is that I'm hearing the Lord, that I've garnered his heart. So you have to, here's the key though. The key is when you struggle searching for direction, you have to keep on playing. Does that make sense? You can't quit, give up, throw in the towel. You can't have a pity party. You may get weepy and, you know, you may have times where there are bad days, but you can't just say, I'm going to give up. I'm going to try to manipulate God into giving me what he wants or what I want. It doesn't work that way. He says that when there's seasons that are changing and you struggle, he says, lean into me, but don't stop playing the game. Don't give up on the fight. There is more for you to do. So here's the key. You have to realize that you have to keep on playing. You have to do that. You have to keep on getting onto the field. You can't just give up, throw in the towel, and quit. You get up, you get knocked down, don't you? Anybody here get knocked down? What do? Get back up. It's not fun being knocked down. But what's worse is when you stay down. He says, get back up. And he says, this generation, the keys to linking them, I want to give you three keys to the Moses. So if you're here and you're like, okay, so clearly I'm older than 40 and 50, so I'm in the Moses generation. And those that are younger, you know, you're like, okay, I'm in the Caleb generation. Let me give you some keys that help link our generations together that we can see taking place from when Caleb was at one season in his life to another. Take a look at verse 7. It says that Caleb went and he spied out the land. In other words, he was sent to spy out the land to bring back a report on how they can do battle against the giants. Here's key number one. The Caleb generation must know how to fight their battles. The Caleb generation must know how to fight their battles. In verse 7, the first part, he said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea. That was young, okay? That's young. Now, you know, obviously David, he was a teenager, he's even younger. But he's pointing out that Caleb had to know how to fight the battle. The Moses generation responsibility, here it is, to equip and send out the Caleb generation. Caleb generation has to learn how to fight their battles. Let me expound on that a little bit more. Caleb generation needs to know how to fight the right battles, okay? Because there's a lot of battles out there. Battling somebody, getting into a difficult situation, just for the sake of arguing or fighting, that's easy. You can find that anywhere. But you have to know how to fight the right battle. What is the right battle? There's been many times where I've been in the throes of what I'll call a battle, and it'll dawn on me, is this my battle? Did I step into somebody else's battle? Am I doing the right thing? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing for this season? Now, Moses generation, our job is to equip and to send out the Caleb generation. I love seeing the fact that, you know, we've done internships and we've got our young people that are being ministered to. We've got missions trips, which is obviously a lot of ages. But we do what we can to send them out. But what does that mean to you personally? What are you, as a Moses generation, doing to equip and to send? That can look 100 different ways. But that's our job, is to equip them and to send them out. You have to know, by the way, Caleb generation, how to fight your battles. You have to plan your battles. You have to know which battles to fight for. Don't be one of those Christians who are fighting everybody else's battles when they're not really yours to fight. You're going to have plenty of your own, okay? And I'm sure you probably know that by now. But do not get one of those warfare mentalities where you also have to be at war with everybody, right? You don't have to constantly do that. Plan your battles wisely. How can I do that? Well, that's where you get the Moses generation that comes in and gets to help you, hopefully, avoid some potholes in your life. They get to bridge some gaps so you don't have to fall in them. It doesn't mean that they know everything, but I'll tell you this. The Moses generation sometimes knows more than the Caleb generation, not because they're so smart, but because they screwed it up and it hurt them and it cost them. And they don't want to see you go down that path. Now, you got to choose what you're going to do with that. But that's how Moses generation, you equip and you send many different ways. How do I equip them? Well, do you meet with them? Do you take them out? Do you build a relationship? Do you ask them how they're doing in their marriage? And if they're single, how are you doing with your direction in life? What can I be praying? How can I be praying for you? What is it? What would you say your need is in that moment? Moses generation, those are questions you can ask of the Caleb generation. And that way you know how to better equip and how to better send them. Listen, this is a statistic that's about 3 years old, but these are statistics of the importance of children's ministry, and here's why I wanted to pull it out. On average, they surveyed, and just on average, the ages of 4 to 14 is the age frame that is the most open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that for a minute. 4 years old, aren't they just concerned about Fruit Loops and Cheerios? Apparently not. Well, I never saw that happening. Well, this is on average. You know, some of the kids maybe went to church every week because their parents, you know, took them there, whether they were kicking and screaming or not. And they learned. Ages of 4 to 14 is the most open time that a child will be to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 83% of all who accept the truth of the gospel will do so at that time. in that age group. For most, on average, kids, the moral foundation that they have developed is done by age 9. By age 9. Think about that. Now, this is, I'm not at all sharing these statistics for you. You're going to sucker me into becoming a teacher in Sunday school, aren't you? No. I want you to understand how important and how crucial. You can't just sit back and say, well, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. This generation's just screwing it all up. No, what you need to do is get involved in equipping the next generation. That's what we have to do. That's where we have to get involved. By the age of 13, they will form beliefs about their nature of God. By the age of 13, they've already got their belief system of what they really think and believe. Depending on how they grew up, depending on their family systems, depending on whether they were, you know, taught the Bible or not, you know, but on average, by the age of 13, that's what they've decided is, that's what I believe about God. So how are people being sent, you know? Well, you and I as the Moses generation are to be sent with a kingdom cause to the battle. You have to plan your fights. You have to plan your battles. You have to make sure you're not, as I said already, fighting the wrong battles, because then all of your strength and energy gets focused and wasted in the wrong place. There's enough wars to fight without starting new ones. Can we all say amen to that one? Right? We don't need any more wars. We need to figure out how to fight the ones that we're supposed to fight. Fight the good fight. Give your energy and your wisdom to the kingdom cause. So one of the things I wanted to point out is the Caleb generation person, it's somebody who has to plan their battles with wisdom. Now, that's hard when you're younger and you don't have all the experience. That's why you need the Moses generation. So Caleb generation, just a moment. Let me just tell you something, okay? I know you're going to look at them at some point. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to ask them because I know this is what they're going to say. They say the same thing over and over and over. It's always the same. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and so you listen to them flap their gums, right? And you're like, okay, you know, whatever. And then you go do your thing, and it falls apart because you didn't listen. You just heard. You say, well, they didn't help me at all. Did you listen? Truly listen? Okay, sure. There's going to be times when the Moses generation is going to tell you something maybe they already told you, but maybe you need to hear it again, you know? Maybe it's something that has to be brought up. This is how we bridge the gap. I can't tell you how many times people have tried to get me involved in their battles, by the way. They try to pull me in. I can't even begin to tell you how many people would love to involve me in their battles. Even as of the last 3 weeks, somebody called and I just, you know, trying to be the loving, nice, you know, hello, how can I help you? Oh, shoot, I didn't hear about that. What's going on? And before I know it, what I figured out is I've been kind of set up. I've been expected to pick up this weapon, and I can't. It's not mine. Now, I can love in the midst of it. I can do what it is God's told me to do in the midst of it. I can support in the midst of it. But what I can't do is pick up somebody else's battle. I can't pick up their offense. I can't pick up their, you know, I can't do that. But when we're young and we don't know that, we're like, what's his name? Mel Gibson off of Braveheart. Freedom! And we start charging everything. We just want to kill everything. We just want to be, you know, in the battle. But sometimes those battles aren't ours. Jesus one time, when two brothers came fighting over an inheritance, they asked Jesus to sort it out. And you know what Jesus said? I'm not getting involved in that. He said, I'm not getting involved in that. There's some battles that you and I just don't need to get involved in. The Bible says if anyone here has something against their brother, you know what you're supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to go tell the pastor. No. Not yet. Now, the Bible says that when you have an offense against your brother, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go and talk to your brother or sister. You go and you talk to them. Well, what if they won't listen to me? Hey, Bible has an answer for that one too. Is it pastor time yet? No. It says you take a couple others with you, not people that are going to gang up. The Bible's very clear that you take people that are loving and supportive, and you go and you approach them. And then if that doesn't work, then you get the church involved. And by the way, the church doesn't have all the answers, okay? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And so don't pick up other people's offenses. So Caleb generation must know how to fight their battles. Moses generation, we equip and we send. Here's key number two. The Caleb generation must be willing to go against the grain. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a moment. The second half of verse 7 says, and I brought back word to him as was in my heart. This is Caleb talking. He says, you remember when we went back and we spied out the land? We saw these giants and those 10 over there, you know, they were like, buck, 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 just running away. He says, but I brought back word right here to him as it was in my heart. As we'll find out in a moment, he says, according to my convictions. So the Caleb generation, you're going to find times when you're going to have to go against the grain. The world's going to say one thing, but God says another. What are you going to do? You know, because there's been plenty of times where God has spoken to me and the world has spoken to me, and I had to make a decision and side with God. My dad and I had one conversation, and I didn't ask if I could share this, but you can thump me with your Bible later. But we were in the middle of transition, and I was really trying to just gain direction from the Lord, and he came in and told me what he thought I should do. And, you know, the intentions were right, they were good, but they conflicted with what I felt God was telling me to do, and I didn't know what to do. Do I listen to my dad? Do I listen to God? Do I listen to my dad? Do I listen to God? And I felt like either way, I'm done, right? You know, but I just, this didn't take all day. We just had a few minutes, and I said, Dad, I said, I don't know what to do. I said, you keep telling me this, and God's telling me this. Who should I listen to? Well, of course, with his wisdom, he said, oh, listen to God. Listen to God. See, that was a Moses generation, being able to speak into a Caleb one. And by the way, anytime Caleb generation, anytime something that you're being asked to do or think you should do goes against the word of God, you're going to have to fight that, and you're going to have to go against the grain. Moses generation, it's our responsibility to train them and pray for them. Train them and pray for them. If you're a parent here and you have some young children, train them. Not like don't go put a leash on them and walk around the store. You know what I'm talking about? You know, nope, get back over here. Train them. Give them some leash to experience life. Let them make some decisions and grow. And let them make mistakes. Because it's easier to let them make mistakes under the roof of your house and under the aspect of your parental responsibilities so that you can train them. You know, that didn't work out so well, did it? Consequences come because of this. Why? You get to teach them. But you also got to pray for them. Because if you're not praying for them, how in the world are you going to teach them correctly? You know what I mean? You got to pray for them. That next generation needs your prayers. So it says, I brought, I being Caleb, I brought Moses back a report. He said, according to my convictions. And I love that, according to my convictions. I brought back to him a report according to my convictions. Here's another thing about Caleb generation. Listen to this very carefully. A Caleb generation has to have the courage to swim against the tide. Well, that's the same thing as going against the grain, isn't it? Well, yes, but I wanted to just use those words because I think we can picture that a lot better. One of the things I love to do, I love the month of July, okay? I wish it was July all the time. I don't mind, I love the heat. I don't even mind the humidity. Bring it on. I'm good with that because here's what we do. We've got a pool, nothing, you know, huge, but it's not some little plastic tinker toy one. But it's big enough that in July, I can go home after work and, you know, I'll be racing home. I'll be getting out of the car like this because I'm getting ready to put on the swimsuit. And I don't swim. Okay? I don't. I am not a swimmer. If you knock me off a boat in the Mississippi, two problems. Number one, I'm going to sink because I can't swim. And number two, I'm going to die because that Mississippi's nasty. So, but we'll go home and I just love to float. We'll get a float. We'll get up on that thing. We'll turn some music on and we'll sit back. We'll just let the sun cook us. I feel like I'm in an easy bake oven, right? And I just float. I go wherever the little pump that's creating a current tells me to go. Don't care. North, south, east, west. I don't care. As long as the sun is shining, right? Caleb generation, floating is fun. But don't let that become your lifestyle. You got to watch out for that. I just want to float. Wherever the world takes me. Yeah, I don't care. North, south, east, west. As long as I got money. As long as I don't, you know, have to do too much work, as long as I don't have to break a sweat, you know. Yeah, If you have that kind of a mentality, you're going to be swept away by whatever current the world brings along. And so we have to come to a place where Moses' generation, that we train them and pray for them. I love to float in my pool, but there's times that I, if we can get out of the pool analogy back into life, I have to swim. I'm not a good swimmer. I don't like to swim. Now, I'm not talking about just water now. I'm talking about life. I don't like to swim against all of the criticisms and all of the negativity. I don't like to swim against all of the pushback I get when I'm trying to get to a specific direction in my life. But there are going to be times, Caleb generation, that you're going to have to swim against the current. You're going to have to go against the grain. Moses generation, we train them. We pray for them. We lift them up. And we support them. I brought back, he said, a report according to my convictions. Everyone else, except for Joshua, was bringing back a negative report back in Deuteronomy, right? Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report. The other 10 had a bad report. Everybody else was bringing back a report of defeat. They were bringing back a report of depression. They were bringing back a report of discouragement. They were saying, it isn't going to happen. And when I read that in my Bible, I can't help but notice it sounds like the same language in our world today. You can't do it. You'll never succeed. You're not going to get out of that funk that you're in. You're not going to make it. It's the same thing. But look at the odds. You've got 2 that came back with a good report, 10 that came back with a negative report. So 1 out of 5 is giving a positive report. Those stats aren't the greatest. But the truth is you get to choose. Do you want to be a Caleb and a Joshua? Or do you want to be one of the other 10? He says, hey, Joshua, you remember I brought Moses back a report according to my convictions. He says, I wasn't listening to what everybody else said. He said, I wasn't going with the tide of popularity. He said, I brought back what was in my heart. How many of you know that sometimes following your heart, sometimes you feel discouraged, right? I did the right thing. Why is it when I do the right thing, everybody else gets celebrated? Lord, do you see me? Do you know I'm here? This is what Caleb's feeling. Caleb said, I believe that God said that we are going to go into the promised land. The other 10, they said, uh-uh. They said, it ain't going to happen. This great man who had convictions, he swam against the tide. And we have to be a Caleb generation person to have convictions, to be positive. If you're here and you're 40 and below and in the Caleb generation, I challenge you to start looking for what's right instead of what's wrong. Stop, you know, well, I don't know if I can do that. Did it? You just did it. You found something wrong with what I just said. Start looking for what's right. How about this? I could probably do that. I can take that challenge. Even if in the back of your mind you're going, I don't know if this is going to work out. Let God, let his Holy Spirit lead you. Here's this man Caleb, the age of 85 now. And he says, I brought him, Joshua, a report based on my convictions. That's going to be important. Caleb generation, you're going to have to go against the grain. Moses generation, we're going to have to train them and pray for them. Moses generation, by the way, the training part, don't let that go to your head. Or, you know, like, it's my responsibility to teach you a few lessons around here. This is how we do it. Don't go all cowboy on them, okay? That's why you must pray, you know? Me and my dad used to wrestle a lot when I was a kid, and one of the jokes we'd say is, you want to wrestle? And it'd be like, there's going to be 2 hits. I'm going to hit you, and you're going to hit the ground, right? That's not the Moses generation mentality we're looking for. Sometimes, yes, you need to get in their face and help them see the reality, but it boils down to this. Do they want to see it? They will eventually, someday. But you just be there for them. You train them. You pray for them. Here's key number 3. The Caleb generation must be consciously aware of the power of negativity. Caleb generation, did you all hear that? You need to be extremely aware, conscious of the power of negativity. Verse 8 in Joshua said, my brethren who went up with me, the other 10, this is Caleb just, you know, rehashing Deuteronomy. He said, my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. But I followed the Lord wholly, or I wholly followed the Lord. See, Caleb generation, you have to consciously be aware of the power of negativity. Moses generation, your responsibility is to speak truth to them, with them, and over them. That's what we must do. And by the way, you speak that truth in love, okay? Caleb generation, you got to be aware of this, how powerful negativity is, even now more so today than ever. And Moses generation, we must speak truth to them, with them, and over them. When's the last time Moses generation, if I were to ask you this, I'm not asking you to answer it, but think of the times you thought, man, what's this next generation doing? What are they thinking? Where's this world heading? Think of all the times you thought things like that. Now compare them to the last time you tried to pray for that generation or ask them how you can help or be a part of it, even if they said no. What are you doing to connect with them? Because there's this great divide if we're not careful, this chasm, this emptiness, this, and we've got to bridge that. And that's exactly what he's called us to do. Moses generation, we speak that truth in love over them. You can do that through prayer. You can send them a card. You know, I don't know if people still send cards. Send them an email or a text or whatever. But you speak truth with them when you have relationship and you've earned their trust. You know, you can talk with them. You're not there to tell them what to do. You're not there. You're just there to come alongside of them. Hey, you got this? And they'll be like, I don't know if you got this. You got this, all right? You've got this. I've got your back. When it gets most difficult, I'm still going to be there. At the very least, I'm here for you. See, now you're speaking truth with them. And then you speak truth over them. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Praying for somebody is intimidating, isn't it? Especially, well, for some people, but especially when you've not exercised it, right? And you'd say, well, as a pastor, you pray for people all the time. Yes, but there's times when God tells me to pray for people that I'm just like, I don't know, God. I'm not sure about this one. But I'll just give you an example. I think most of you know I do a chaplaincy with the police department, and I was riding around with somebody, and they just, you know, talking to me, sharing life. And I felt like the Lord said, pray for him. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't want me to pray for him. That was what I was going on inside. We're good, God. He's, you know, no. Don't need that. He said, I didn't ask you what you thought. As a matter of fact, I didn't even necessarily ask you like any other parent, you know, hey, will you go clean your room? Mom's not really asking. She's telling, right? And so I thought, man, I suppose I can do it. I said, hey, have a great day. Dude, can I pray for you before I go? Yeah. And he was just open to it, extremely open to it. It built a bridge. I don't know what that bridge is going to look like in the future, but I know this. Had I not obeyed, God would just find somebody else to do it. Because you can't thwart God's plans. What he's looking for is a Moses generation that's willing to speak truth to them, with them, and over them. You know, as much as 77% of everything we think is negative and counterproductive, it works against us. People who grow up in an average household hear no, or we're told that they cannot do it, they won't succeed, more than 148,000 times by the age of 18. Now, let me just say a little something about that. I'm not saying that we don't tell kids no. We need to tell them no, right? Moms and dads, right? Okay. But not necessarily no to everything. It focused more, this statistic, on the negative words that were heard. More than 148,000 times of hearing, you're not going to make it. You can't do that. You'll never succeed. It's not going to amount to anything. And then we wonder why we have a generation that grows up feeling like they're not worthy. In the Bible, you said, but my brothers that came with me, the other 10 spies, those 10 made the hearts of the people melt. You know why, Caleb generation? Because of the negative words. There was two people saying, we can do it. And there was 10 that said, we're going to die. And the people looked at that and said, 10 to 2, we're going with the 10. And they went with that direction because of the negative impact that was there, because of the negative words that were spoken. Caleb generation, be aware how powerful negativity is. And Moses generation, knowing that, speak truth into their lives. Pray for them. Pray for them. See, it's not my point. It's not just a thought. Not everybody, let me just say this. Not everybody that is with you is with you. Does that make sense? maybe a better way to say it is not everybody that's with you is for you. Those 10 with Caleb and Joshua, they were with him, but they weren't really with him. They weren't for him. They had a different message. What's your point? Be careful who you surround yourself with. Be careful who you decide to have as friends. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life, because they will have an effect on you. And listen very carefully. You know, you have to know the power of negativity. Caleb generation, leaders know the power of negativity. Leaders know that. You have to understand that negativity is one of the greatest killer in our world today. It's more dangerous than cancer. It's more dangerous than drugs. It's more dangerous than anything that it brings destruction against our faith. Negativity can take faith right out of a person, and it can suck the wind right out of you. Negativity does. You know, I've heard it said before that some people are so negative that when you put them in a dark room, they develop. We got to do something to change this heart, this thought process. The 12 spies that Moses sent out, he said, bring back a report. But when Joshua, remember, Moses said, go and bring back a report. But when Joshua sent spies into the land, he said, this is the report you're going to bring back. Take some time, go read it. Go back to Deuteronomy 1. Check out Joshua 14 right around there. Joshua learned something. He was one of the two, right? He saw the 10 with their negative attitude. This is what he said. Listen, it's been 45 years we've been wandering because of these sorry monkeys back here. We're not doing that again. I want you to go, and I'm not telling you to bring me back a report. I'm telling you the report you're going to bring back, because I know our God is able. I know our God is faithful. I want you to go and see that for yourself. Here's my point. Moses' generation, you have an important part to play. Equipping, sending, training, praying, and journeying with the next generation through the seasons of their life. Caleb generation, fight for the right thing. Fight for the right battles. Be willing to go against the grain. Not ornery, not stubborn, though we all have a degree of that. I'm saying that be willing to go against the grain if the grain is going against the word of God. You got to be willing to do that. And beware, Caleb generation, of that power of negativity. The world is going to tell you what you cannot do. It's going to tell you that you will not succeed. I'm here to tell you that you are not of this world. You were created by an amazing grace and love from God. You belong to him, whether you know it or not. And he has wired deep within you a purpose and a plan. And he wants to see the fruition of that come forth too. But the only thing that stops it is you and I. We are in this journey together, church family. And God is not done with us. He's not done with us. Amen. Father, I thank you so much that you love us and you never leave us go. Lord, that you have a grace that's so amazing. And Jesus, I pray today that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would have stirred and you would have churned our hearts so that we can understand what an amazing grace you have. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name. I feel Moses on my shoulder right now. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is here and I can visibly, tangibly touch him.
Moses.
There you go.
Moses.
You're on.
Moses just wants to join hands with you.
Okay.
Dear church, we need the Lord. We need one another. God needs you. And I may be a Moses. I'm 84, but I want to tell you, give me that mountain. But son, I am so proud of you and so proud of Lisa. And I'm thankful God has allowed us to stand together and speak the truth of God's word. I'm thankful that you've listened to the Lord and you've obeyed the Lord. And I honor you and thank you. And I thank you, church family, that you have a heart that can't be divided. It's a heart that wants to wholly follow the Lord, and that we pray together, we work together, and we reach the lost together. So I thank you. I just felt so strong for the Holy Spirit to come up and and connect our hands and connect all of our hearts. God bless you. I love you.